Thanks for tuning in to this message from the Los Altos Grace Brethren Church. We hope this will be an encouragement to you. You can find out more messages and more about our church at www.lagbc.org.
So I think that it's really appropriate that Thanksgiving flows into Christmas the way that it does. You know, we get a day where, as a country, as a society, we set it aside and we give thanks to God for all that he's given us. And even if we tried to, you know, as the song goes, count our many blessings, right? We wouldn't be able to count them all when you think of all that God has really done for us. But then it flows right into Christmas where we get to recognize the incarnation of Jesus, the fact that God himself left heaven and came into the world looking to save you and me. And that is something that we can be grateful for all year long. But in my view, it's one of those beautiful things where you come out of one situation and it just flows right into the greatest gift that has ever been given. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we get started, there's a couple of things I want to say. Lori and I had a great week. We had a little vacation down at Doheny Beach, which I guess they must have said to you last week because we got a lot of texts from you guys. But it was great. We had a really good time. But also we have something really great to be thankful for, and that is that our daughter Haley got engaged. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? Yeah. Don't tell her this. We've been waiting for this for a while. But no, It is really exciting that that she got engaged. Her fiance Scott is a great guy, and we're just really looking forward to what the Lord has for them and for us. But it also made me think this week about how, you know, I can be grateful for that big event, right? It's something we've been kind of hoping for and wanting, and so there's anticipation that builds up. You know, kind of like the old ketchup commercial. You old people remember that, right? For Heinz ketchup, it was the anticipation, waiting to get it out of the bottle. There's something about that anticipation that brings you to a place where when it finally comes, you're just extra grateful. But it made me think that the Bible says I should be thankful for everything. Okay, everything. I should be thankful for everything. And so if that's the case, right, if that's the truth, that I should be thankful for everything, then something has to change in my thinking. It can't just be the big stuff that I'm thankful for, but it has to be the moments that come every day that I'm thankful for. Now, and not even just the good ones, but also the ones that that bring me stress or conflict or even depression and sadness. I need to find a mindset, a way of looking at life and a way of looking at God that enables me to be grateful even in those moments, because gratitude itself is the best medicine there is for the human heart. Okay? I want to start this morning by showing you a video. This comes, it's Dennis Prager, who's a radio talk show host, an observant Jew. And he has a university called Prager University, where he puts out these 5-minute videos. And this one on gratitude, I thought, was particularly good. So just watch and listen.
How many times have you heard someone say they want to make a better world? It is a noble sentiment, but very hard to achieve, right? Well, actually, it's quite easy. All we have to do is increase just one human trait. This trait is so powerful that it alone can make people happier without working on their happiness and make them better. And by better, I mean more generous, more honest, more kind, more everything good, without a single lesson in morality. So then, what is this one almost magical thing? Drum roll, please. It's gratitude. You can't be a happy person if you aren't grateful, and you can't be a good person if you aren't grateful. Almost everything good flows from gratitude, and almost everything bad flows from ingratitude. Let's begin with ingratitude. Here's a rule of life. Ingratitude guarantees unhappiness. It is as simple as that. There isn't an ungrateful, happy person on earth. And there isn't an ungrateful good person on earth. There are two reasons. Reason one is victimhood. Ingratitude always leads to or comes from victimhood. Ungrateful people, by definition, think of themselves as victims. And perceiving oneself as a victim or perceiving oneself as a member of a victim group may be the single biggest reason people hurt other people, from hurtful comments to mass murder. People who think of themselves as victims tend to believe that because they've been hurt by others, they can hurt others. And the second reason ungrateful people aren't good people is that ingratitude is always accompanied by anger. The ungrateful are angry, and angry people lash out at others. If ingratitude makes people unhappy and mean, then gratitude must make people happy and kind. And so it does. Think of the times you have felt most grateful. Were they not always accompanied by a feeling of happiness? Weren't they also accompanied by a desire to be kinder to other people? The answer, of course, is yes. Grateful people aren't angry, and they don't see themselves as victims. The problem, however, and it's a big one, is that in America and much of the rest of the world, people are becoming less grateful. Why? Because people are constantly told that they are entitled to things they haven't earned, what are known as benefits or entitlements. And the more things that people think they should get, the less grateful they will be for whatever they do get. And the more angry and therefore unhappy they will be when they don't get them. Here are two rules of life. Rule number one, the less you feel entitled to, the more gratitude you will feel for whatever you get, and the happier you will be. Rule number two, the more you feel entitled to, the less happy you will be. That's why, for example, children who get whatever they want are usually less happy children. We have a word for such children, spoiled. And no one thinks of a spoiled child as a happy child, and certainly not a kind one. The more that you feel that life or society owes you, the angrier you will get, the less happy you will be. As a result, we are increasing the number of angry, unhappy, and selfish people. The other way we are making people unhappy, and even meaner, is by cultivating a sense of victimhood. People are constantly told that they are victims because of their upbringing, because of past prejudice against their group, because of material inequality, because they are female, and for many other reasons. Next time you want to assess any social policy, ask this question first. Will this policy increase or decrease gratitude among people? You will then know whether it is something that will bring more goodness and happiness to the world or less. If I were granted one wish, it would be that all people be grateful. Gratitude is the source of happiness and the source of goodness. And the more good people and the more happy people there are walking around, the happier and better our world will be. If you have a way of achieving such a world without increasing gratitude, let me know what it is.
So if you have a way, you know, how did you get the Blue Man Group to cooperate with that? That's the part I've been trying to figure out. A lot of what he said, though, is really true. And I realized that, you know, he was pushing it towards society in a political sort of way. But I want us to think about it more in a spiritual sort of way. Okay, you know, for us as individuals, you know, we get up every morning, we you know, kind of contemplate our lives, or we get ready to face the world. And what is our general attitude toward it? Is our general attitude toward, hey, you know, I'm going to be grateful for this day, the fact that I have air to breathe, the fact that, you know, I'm getting out of bed, you know, even if it's with some pain, and I'm moving forward to see what God has for me. If my attitude is like that, I'm going to have a much better day. And my circumstances don't have to change one little bit. All that has to really change is the way that I view the world. And so when I think about how gratitude affects our relationships, I think that we have to start with the very most important relationship that we have, and that's our relationship with God. And I believe that the giving of thanks is really the essence of worship. Okay, when we tell God thank you, we are saying a lot of things with that. We're recognizing that whatever we have came from God. We're recognizing that God is above us and that we are below him. When we tell God thank you, we are recognizing that all the goodness in our lives comes from him. It's a simple act of worship. It's where worship begins. It's where worship ends. And it's all just about us understanding that God is good and that he is doing what's best for us. I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And I'm going to be going through a lot of verses. So if you have really nimble fingers, go ahead and go with your Bible. Otherwise, just watch the screen, okay? But it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, talking about God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Seems like a very simple proposition, right? If I'm going to come to God, if I'm going to offer worship to God, if I am going to seek God out, I have to first of all believe that he exists, right? That there actually is a God. And then I have to believe that he's good and that he wants to do good for me. So otherwise, you know, why would I seek him out in the first place if I didn't think that in some way, shape, or form, he was going to do good for me? Now, there's plenty of scriptures I can point to where the Bible makes it very clear that God is actively, constantly doing good for me and for you. Right? But in this verse, he's telling us that the faith, the essence of what it takes in order to please God, is this belief that he is out there and that if we seek him, he will bless us. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about blessing us with new cars or new homes or even new friends necessarily. Okay? But that God will insert himself into our lives and that he will work in our lives for our benefit, ultimately for our benefit, and I believe also for his. 1 Chronicles 16:8 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples." Verse 34 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Psalm 30, verse 4 says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name." And Psalm 44, 8 says, "In God we have boasted all day long, and we will give thanks to your name forever." Selah. Just take a breath and meditate on that for a minute. Right? We see throughout the Old Testament, throughout the Psalms, throughout the life of the nation of Israel, when they came back to God over and over again, they drifted, they came back, they drifted, they came back. But we see this constant, consistent act of worship is an act of giving thanks. It's saying to God, we're blessed by you. Our lives are better because of you. What would our life be without you? See, when Prager was talking about the idea of victimhood, you know, I think that sometimes we get into victimhood worship, you know, where we're begging God for things. And I don't just mean physical things or material things, but sometimes we're begging God for changes in somebody's life or for things that we really see as good. And it's good to pray and to ask God for those things. But when we don't see God step up on those things, we end up, instead of waiting patiently or persevering, you know, in terms of waiting for God to act, we get less and less inclined to believe that he ever will act. And so what that does is it kind of produces in us this sense that we really deserve better than we're getting. And as soon as that switch flips in our head, everything starts to slide downhill. And I know that I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. You've experienced this. I've experienced this. You know, when it's just like, you know, how long is it going to take, God, for you to step up and give me what I need? Without thinking that maybe he knows when I need it better than I do. Recognizing his place as the God who knows everything, as the God who has all power, as the God who gives all grace, as the God who loves me with an everlasting love, who demonstrated that by sending his son to die for me. You know, if I can get my head around that, then it's so much easier for me to step back and to say, okay, God, I know you've got me. I know you're doing what's right and what's good. I don't get it, and I wish you'd clue me in. I think, you know, that's a fair thing to ask. You know, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to believe that you're working on my behalf. And you flip that switch, and all of a sudden you're back to grateful. And grateful, I think, brings its own blessing. James 1:17 says, every good thing given, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Everything good in our lives comes from God. And God promises to take everything in our lives and work it for good. So if you flip that over, everything comes from God and ultimately is good. And I know sometimes that's really hard to wrap your head around, especially when you're suffering with an illness or a disease, or when you are being hurt by people on a regular basis, when people are killed and murdered, when you see some of the evil things that are done to little children in this world. I mean, it's hard to imagine how any of that can be good. And yet we have a just God, and he will bring about justice in the proper time and in the proper way. And if we can, again, get our heads around that, then we, and I'm not saying we should be grateful for a mass murder that takes place or a genocide or something like that. I mean, we should call evil evil for what it is. But we should be grateful for the God who we know will somehow make that right. There's a verse where Jesus is talking to the Sadducees, and the Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. Okay, they were a sect of Judaism who didn't believe in a resurrection, and they were trying to trip Jesus up with a trick question. And they were asking him about this weird law in Israel called Levirate marriage, where if a woman's husband died before she had children, his brother was supposed to give her children so that his children could have his inheritance. Okay? And so he says, so what if this went through seven generations and now they get to heaven? Whose wife is she going to be in heaven? And Jesus just kind of sloughs them off, and he says, you don't really understand. He says, in heaven there isn't marriage or being given in marriage. But here's the reality. The Bible says that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't say that God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is, right now, right this moment, even now, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because all live to him. So even when we see such horrible things happen to people who are, their life in this world gets snuffed out, to God, they are still there. Okay? He doesn't allow that to get in the way of their forever. And I think that's an important thing to recognize. So worship. Gratitude is the essence of worship. So how do we cultivate an attitude of gratitude in our relationships? I mentioned we should start with God. And here's the steps, I would say. First of all, you got to recognize his goodness. You have to look at the scriptures, look at the evidence that's there that he sent his son to die on our behalf, right? While we were yet his enemies, Christ came and died for us. So take that as your baseline. Okay? That demonstrates the goodness and the grace and the mercy, the love of God. So you have to start there with this recognition that God is good. Secondly, you need to honor God for his provision. I read you that verse in James, right, about how every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Well, you need to look at everything in your life that you consider good and recognize that that came from God. If you have a great job and you're making lots of money, it's because God gave you that great job so you can make lots of money. If you have a lousy job and you don't make much money, but you got a roof over your head, it's because God gave you that roof over your head. You know, if you're living in a box somewhere, he gave you the box. Okay, everything comes from God. And we need to honor him for his provision, to say thank you for the things that we have. Matthew 6:25-34 puts it this way. This is Jesus talking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what shall we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Don't you hate it when Christians tell you, when you're all worried and anxious about something, and Christians tell you to stop it? Don't you hate that? And yet they're right. And that's why you hate it, right? Because you know they're right. I mean, here, God makes it very clear. Seek him. Seek after him. Seek to follow him. You're going to get everything you need. You might not get everything you want. Or maybe he'll change what you want. But you will definitely get everything you need. So we honor him for his provision. And then I also think we need to praise him for his promises. Romans 8:28, it's a familiar verse. One of the things I hate is when people look at this verse and they call it cliche to quote it, because I think it's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. It says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." God takes the stuff in your life and he turns around and he makes good things out of it. Okay? It's his promise to us. And one of the things that's very clear from Scripture, very clear from life experience, is that God is faithful. He keeps his promises. He wouldn't make a promise like this if he wasn't going to keep it. Now, I realize that we don't always see how this is happening, how this is working. But again, it comes back to faith, right? I believe that he is, and I believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I'm seeking him, therefore I can expect to be rewarded. Now, what that looks like? It looks like God in my life. It looks like God shaping my character. It looks like God providing me opportunities for service. It looks like God bringing the love of others into my life and giving me opportunity to love others as well. That's what it looks like. And that's what I have to seek out. So we start with our relationship with God. Then from that relationship, we extend it out to people. Think about it like this, that your relationship with other people on this planet, whether they're believers or unbelievers, is an extension of your relationship with God. So when you become a believer in Christ, God puts his Holy Spirit in you. And so God actually lives inside of you. And so when you connect with other people, God has the opportunity to flow through you into their life. When you connect with another believer, God has the opportunity to flow through that person into your life. So we need to see our relationships with each other as extensions of our relationship with God. So see your human relationships as a gift from God. Do you look at them that way for the most part? You know, look at the people God's placed in your life. You know, are those people gifts? Maybe some of them are gifts you don't like, right? But seriously, We need to see that the group of relationships that God has put in our life and the new relationships that he brings into our life, because he's always doing that, right? There's always opportunity to meet a new person, to connect with a new person. And once you meet them, the opportunities are endless from that moment on. And so I always love that piece of it, you know, where God is expanding those relationships. You have people, I have people in my life that I have history with from the time I was a little kid. And I can not see them for years and then step back into a moment with them and boom, all of that history comes back and the fullness of it and the richness of it. And you're able to just kind of pick up where you left off. You can meet a person who's brand new and you've never seen before in your life and you just learn their name. And then it provides opportunities for you to build a history with that person. And so you see them once, then twice, then three times. And as life goes on, you get more and more of those opportunities. Sometimes it's really fleeting. It's just a hello, how are you, and goodbye. Sometimes it's just a smile across the room. You never see them again. But even those things God can use. We have to recognize that the people God places in our lives are part of his gift giving to us. It's part of his grace giving to us. Secondly, I'd say we need to learn to see conflict as an opportunity. Because if you have relationships with people, you're going to have conflicts. We've already talked about forgiveness. We've already talked about family. We've already talked about spiritual family. Okay, there's opportunities galore in the relationships that we have with each other. So when you have a conflict with a person, you can look at it a couple of different ways. You can think to yourself that this is something where God has provided me an opportunity to help a person. Also, maybe God is providing an opportunity for me to learn from that person, either to learn from their behavior what not to do, to learn from their behavior what to do, to learn in my own heart, in my own mind, how to maybe help bring a person from a place of ingratitude and anger into a place of gratitude and grace. I'm not saying those things aren't hard. I know that they're hard. And sometimes you pray and you pray and you try and you try and it seems like you can never break through. I understand. But there's always a point. Even if I can't see it and I don't know what it is, there's always a point. I've mentioned this to you about your circumstances, right? That you need to see your circumstances as opportunities. You need to see that God is in your circumstances. Sometimes he might use a difficult circumstance to bring you to a new place or to introduce you to new people. I think about the Apostle Paul and how, you know, he showed up in Philippi and he gets arrested and thrown in jail. And what happens? He finds the Philippian jailer, right? And his whole household come to faith. And I think Paul knew God was using his circumstances to throw him in jail so that he could find this guy. He was allowing himself to be carried along by it. Well, why is it any different with relationships? God puts people in our lives. They're not there by accident, and you're not there by accident. It's so that we can learn to love and to see love increase. Your purpose in this world, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your purpose in this world is to see good increase. Well, about 99% of that happens through relationships. Sometimes it happens through relationships that are full of peace and joy and hope. And sometimes it happens through relationships that are difficult and struggling. But it still happens. God wants to use you to bring good into this world, to increase the good in the world, but he also wants to use other people to increase the amount of good that's in you. See conflict as an opportunity. Thirdly, I'd say that you got to allow God some space. And this might be the hardest thing there is to do. To just recognize that he knows better than you. And that sometimes you have to wait for the best things. God isn't a big genie in the sky who we ask and he acts. It's not how it works. So we have to give God grace. And I realize he doesn't really need it. Okay, I get that. But we do. We have to, from our hearts, give him grace and space to act in the way that is best. You expect that from your kids. If you've had little kids, you know that they're always asking for stuff that you can't give them right away, right? Or that you know wouldn't be good for them yet. And so they don't understand that they got to wait. They don't want to wait. We're like that. We're, should I use the word? Sometimes spoiled little brats. We need to give God some space. Let's look at Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. And I'm just going to read down through this. And I want you to listen to what he says and to think about how it applies to being grateful for people. And see, this is my whole point, is that if you see a person as a gift, that you can be grateful for them in your life, the ones that make your life easier and the ones that make your life harder. But if you can just separate your mind so that you can see those people as gifts from God, you know, you can be thankful to God for putting them in your life, knowing that he is using them in whatever way necessary to bring about good for you and to give you opportunity to do good for them. If you can just put your head in that space, being grateful for people will make a huge difference in the way that you view them and the way that you treat them. Romans 12 puts it like this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. You can talk to God about it all. Okay? And I would suggest that. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think one of the points that Dennis Prager made at the beginning this morning is a point that I'd like to send you home with. And it's simply this, that more gratitude equals more goodness equals more happiness. How do you overcome evil with good? Start by saying thank you. Start by cultivating an attitude in your own heart each and every day. So this happened to me today. Okay, so I'm thinking about this all week, right? I'm thinking about it all night. You know, you kind of wake up. This is how it works for me. I kind of wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it. And then, I get up this morning and I start to drive over here. And, before I even started to drive over here, I had to get the ironing board out of the cupboard, and I couldn't get the ironing board out of the cupboard. I had to move everything out, you know, in order to get the ironing board out. And I got the ironing board out of the cupboard, and I knocked a couple things over. And then I got it up, and I set it, and I did my ironing. And then I went outside, and I forgot something, and I couldn't find my keys, and I had to go back in the house. And, you know, it was just one little obstacle after another, right? And I felt myself kind of tensing up, like, okay, I'm getting frustrated now. I'm getting a little angry. And then it was like God go, ha, ha, ha. Gotcha. You see that? You see what's happening to you? Okay, I get it. I'm supposed to be thankful. You know, so I say thank you, and I start driving over here, and, you know, then my typical thing with the lights, which I do every week. And again, you know, I have habits, guys. And God is saying to me, stop that. That's stupid. Why do you let those things bother you? You want to have a better life? Just change the way you think about those things. Repent. That's what repentance means. Do you guys realize that? To change your mind? Just repent. Recognize that God is there. God is good. God loves you. God's taking care of things. And go with the flow. How hard can it be? Say thank you. Overcome evil with good. Don't pay back evil for evil. See, when I get angry in the midst of a situation or in the midst of a relationship with somebody, what happens? I'm paying back evil. Maybe they did do evil to me, but if I pay back evil to them, what happens? Evil increases. You see? If someone does evil to me and I pay them back with good, it stops evil in its tracks. Gratitude brings goodness. Gratitude results in happiness. Let's make a choice to start in that place and simply begin every day saying thank you. Remind yourself over and over and over again when you feel that pressure building to stop, take a breath, repent, and say thank you. The Bible makes it very clear. In everything, give thanks. You think God knows that that's how to change the world? I think he does. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the salvation that you give to us for simply trusting in you. Thank you for being willing to leave heaven and to come to earth and to die for us. Thank you, Lord, for being present in our lives each and every day and constantly working every little aspect of our lives toward goodness. Goodness for your kingdom, goodness for our own situations. But Lord, just goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, continue to pour it out on us. Heal our minds so that we can understand and willingly give thanks and praise to your name. Lord, as we look forward to Christmas now, Lord, as we sing now, you know, about your coming, I do pray, God, that you would visit each one of us, that you would make yourself known to each one of us, and that, Lord, we would respond with a grateful heart. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.